Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Hey, magic makers, it's Kim here, and we have another great episode. Today, I interviewed Miss Nikki Stansberry. She is a graduate of Capella University, and she is a certified life coach from the Coaching Training Alliance. We talked today all about stress. How do you stop being a stress ball? How do you stop getting sucked into the overwhelm and the busy of everyday life? Nikki has a gift. She teaches boss ladies like you how to tame the guilt, the procrastination, and the stress so you can live that, killer boss lady life that you so desperately want to live. We walked through her chaos killing strategies. We talked all about her GPS programming, and it's not what you think. And the biggest takeaway for me was the power of starting with small. And you know how I am. I love small steps. I love simple. So I would love for you to take a listen and let me know what your takeaway is. You can always hit me up on the socials, or you can rate, review, and subscribe to this very podcast. Here's Nikki. Enjoy the conversation. Good morning, magic makers. It's Kim here again, and I have a fabulous conversation with Miss Nikki Stansberry. The one thing I love about Nikki is I love when I know my guests in person, that I've gotten a chance to, meet and greet and hug and squeeze on my guests. And the thing I love about Nikki is, one, she's pretty funny, and two, she just has this way of just giving me a wave of calm. And it's rare to have those people in your life who just encourage you to take that deep breath. And that's what the conversation today is really going to focus about, is how do we take that deep breath? Because all of us, we are running, and we got to just stop and get ourselves off that damn hamster wheel. So Nikki, can you introduce yourself to my audience?
Hey, Kim. Thank you so much for the invitation and for that awesome intro. I feel all warm and fuzzy now. Yes, I am Nikki Stansberry. I am the founder and Badass Reboss Lady Stress Management Life Coach of La Palmera Spa. I teach boss ladies secrets to killing chaos using my secret GPS system, which shows up in the daily grind as guilt, procrastination, and stress. So I teach them how to really slay that shit and just start to get their shit together, really. And a feeling of, I got this. I got this today. And just for today, I got it like a boss.
I love the whole, I got this. And, if we go back to your secret GPS. So I wrote that. I missed one. It's guilt, procrastination. What was the last one?
Stress.
And I'm sure if this was a video and we were in front of a live audience, it would be like a Bible revival of people being like, oh, that's me.
Yes, that is me.
Yeah. And, I'm sure, if we were to kind of take a big step back, is that, you've identified this and, you came to this work. Is it because you found that you were a stress ball in your own life?
Yeah. So I am the oldest of six girls. Ugh. And so chaos is extremely normal in my world. My parents were young when they started having children, and then they we, like me and my youngest sister are 20 years apart. So you can imagine that. Okay. And throughout that, we've experienced, you know, one of my sisters died at the age of 22. So we've experienced a lot of life and things we had to adapt to. Also, I'm the mom of two daughters. I was married previously. And so, you know, having to go through sharing children, like, what the hell? you know, and the whole thing of rearing teenagers and girls, it's just like, it was a lot to kind of navigate through. And on top of that, in the year of 2002, it's funny now, and it was wonderful then. In the same year, I got divorced, got married, went back to college as an adult mom with two little children. And so once I got, actually, I don't even know if I ever stopped going to school. I'm constantly learning. So when I got my master's degree, I actually did go into the workforce, and I was a case management supervisor. And because of my work ethic, you know, like being the oldest, I have found that I always really wanted to do a good job. Mm-hmm. I do find that, and my parents will admit to this, is they were really hard on the first couple of us. After that, it was like, whatever, you know.
Right. We've kept these others alive.
They still had rules, but it was definitely not nearly as strict as what it was for us. And so I always did my best to like make sure my parents were happy with what I was doing. So work ethic was really, really strong in me. And that showed up in the corporate world. I worked so much, and especially during the time that I was a supervisor, the government was changing a lot, and they had released a lot of slots, you know, in different programs, and they had to be met. This was like a 10-year waiting period that they were finally really releasing funding, and provisions would be in place for these families. If we didn't get that done, those families didn't get the support. And the pressure of that was enormous. So yeah. I found myself every quarter we had the deadlines of, you know, whatever quarterly plans were up to renew, whatever it was. And I ended up it was a walk-in clinic on a Saturday because I had put off all week going to the doctor. I was really, really sick. And I found that every quarter I would end up sick. Well, this time I had high fever, just didn't know what to do. So I went, and the doctor said, we have to put you on an EKG machine. Your heart rate is way too high, your blood pressure. And I was like, what? And so it was stress induced. And I told the doctor, I'm not getting on medicine, because he wanted me to get on anxiety medicine. I was like, no, I know what I need to do. And I did those things. And I'm still doing those things. So my first initial emotional response to what's happening around me, chaos, is it's too much. I don't know where to start. I don't know what so everything tends to be last minute, because mm-hmm. I can only look at what's right now. And so it doesn't allow me to plan way in advance, which is where, you know, preparation is important. And if I had the extra ability to see what could go wrong, that, and I'm super positive, so I don't want to look at what could go wrong. Everything goes right in my world.
Right.
The thing is, those things still happen because you cannot control people's reactions to what you're doing or what they believe you're doing. And so there's plot twists that show up, you know? So I've really, really mastered this way of not being reactive, not being, you know, freaking out and panicky all the time. Not having what feels like anxiety attacks just by being present. Like,
right.
And actually being more present and taking such insightful action that things seem easier, and being okay with it being easy.
Yeah. So let's go back to you're at the urgent care. So, you know, of course, I've been there too. And I'm sure, you know, plenty of people listening to this have been there, like, yeah, Saturday's my day to take care of me. I'm too busy taking care of everybody else this week. So when you got there, was he basically saying you were having some type of like anxiety attack or prolonged?
He didn't know what it was because mm-hmm. my heart rate was super high. And I was just like, it's just because I have fever. I became the worst patient ever in that moment. And then he said, if I take off the white coat, will it help you feel better? And I'm like, what is wrong with this man? You know, like he understood. He was the stimulus for me. And I just needed him out of my face. He didn't believe it was an anxiety attack. He knew that something was not right with as fast as my heart was.
Right. So
to work.
Yeah. And so then you said to him, you're like, well, I know what I need to do. So what was it that, you know, was there something that was always nagging at you that you knew that like you were just doing too much? Like, what was it that you said, I know what I need to do?
Well, I actually had started my certification of life coaching because when I went back to college, I went back as I was going to be a psychologist. And the graduate program put me in what was, you know, there's no accidents, but they put me in accidentally the wrong program. And so I was like, no, just leave me in there. I'm tired. And truthfully, after going through the red tape of, you know, different entities, I did not want to do red tape again. I wanted to be able to be me. So I really needed to make some serious life changes because when I was at work, I was constantly worried about, you know, what were the girls doing? How were they behaving? If my husband, because he works away a lot, and if he was in, like, I wanted him comfortable, I didn't want them, and he would take care of them, like, while I was at work. So I just wanted everybody happy all the time. Right. I knew that I had to figure something else out. So I actually, we went on vacation, and I knew that I was just needing to change paths. And I came back and then I got fired. So I was like, okay.
There's my sign.
Yeah, really. So wait so long and then things happen. You know, they happen for all the good, for all of our good. But it's just like, you know, my health was really, really taking a toll because I was letting all of the mental, all of what I felt I needed to own as a supervisor, was really, really tough. So even right away, then I got another job quickly. And in that time, I opened La Palmera Spa. And my path really, it really feels like it began at that moment, because you don't know stress till you know what running businesses is, I guess. Yeah. And the funny thing is, as mastering the systems, I have not been sick.
Right. So now
if any of this makes sense. So no, I'm running.
It makes sense. Because basically you saw that you were going down this path that wasn't working.
Right.
And then you kind of, you know, redirected your energy towards something that was going to bring the greater good in the spa. That mm-hmm. like a place where, had you known of this place when you were, you know, dealing with all of your stress, you would have probably moved in.
Right.
So I see that, you know, because I had one of those kind of jobs myself. And I remember going to my doctor and I wanted a pill. And I'm sure when you went to the doctor, you wanted a pill and we were the pill.
Yeah, I didn't want a pill. I didn't want anything to do with medicine. I just wanted to feel better. And I was like, I just need antibiotic because I have some fever, you know, like he was the one who wanted to give me the pill. I was like, shit.
It's funny because, you know, my doctor, I had the opposite. She was like, she told me that I needed yoga and I needed to read the book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And, you know, I was like, I took time out of work and you got to tell me to go read a damn book.
Yeah, she's my kind of doctor.
Well, you know, at the time I was pissed, but, you know, as I reflect back on
yes.
it, it was what, you know, like you said, you didn't end up in the wrong program by accident. It's what I needed to hear. Like, and I think that's what, if you were to take one thing away from the conversation thus far, everyone has the answer.
Yeah.
You just have to want to listen to it. Because when your body is talking to you like that, it's saying uncle. But ego is like, oh, girl, you sit your ass down. We got shit to do.
Right. Right.
And you know.
And what's funny between both you and I's experiences, the result was the same. Neither one of us heard what we really wanted to hear. But
exactly.
We took action anyway, you know, so.
Oh, and absolutely. And I think let's go down that rabbit hole. Because, you know, you're a coach, I'm a coach. And at times, you and I both have to say something to someone that they don't want to hear.
Yep.
That they're not ready to hear. You know, it's not the answer they want. You know, I wanted a pill, but I had to chill out. Like, that's what she really told me I needed to do. Like, I needed.
Oh, it's cutting out.
Oh, am I back now?
Hey, I can't hear you.
All right. Can you hear me now? Oh, am I here?
Yeah. Okay, I can hear you.
Okay. You know, I needed to chill out and I didn't want to hear that response. He was like, well, here, take this pill, probably as a way to help you get to chill, but you didn't want to hear that. So, you know, it's
correct.
For those people who have heard, this is what I've learned from that experience. If someone tells me something or I hear something at least three times, that's my sign that, like, I need to just shut my ass up and lean in.
Right.
Now, you talked about your GPS, and I loved it, where it's, you talked about, we all feel this, like, when we are kind of in our grind, in our hustle, we feel guilty about something. You know, you always said, I felt guilty because I was working so much. And I was always like, you know, what's my kids doing? What's my husband doing? You know, and then that probably meant you were putting something off either at home or at work, you know, somewhere someone wasn't getting their needs met. And then, you know, that ultimately leads to stress because, like, it's kind of like that rolling ball of like, so, you know, when you kind of started to like think about like, these are like, this is the GPS, like, how do you start someone kind of down that track? Because, like, we all have all three of those feelings.
Yeah. So, you know, it really comes from what I believe guilt is a result of blame or shame. Mm. And when we feel that we're not good enough or we're not pleasing enough, then we've done something wrong. And when you're in a place that you don't feel in alignment with, that's going to be one of the really biggest indicators. You know, so being aware, is this coming from a place of blame or shame is one of the ways that you can change it, and just guilt kind of dissolves. So the chaos of the daily grind really keeps us in that place, because we're usually doing stuff. If your day is a day-to-day grind and it's hustle and all this, then it's really not a day that's going to come easy for you. It's pushed, it's forced, it's probably filled with anxiety or depression, and you feel like you can't move. And then when you do move, it's like cramming everything all into one. And a lot of us are actually addicted to chaos.
Yes.
So these added emotions of blame and shame and guilt just make chaos thrive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved how you said you're addicted to chaos. And I see it all the time. And when you try to tell someone to kind of like pull out, at least pull one thing out, they, you know, it's what they know. So it's kind of like, it's breaking them out of their, you know, chaos comfort.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It is a comfort zone. So when you tell them to pull one thing out, you know, they usually fill it with something else.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is the full plate syndrome. And so that's, you know, their common answer is going to be, how's it going? I'm so busy, girl. So busy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, the way I started answering people when they ask that, you know, how's it going? I'm like, excellent. Checking things off my list. And they're like, what? I can't stand the word busy anymore, just because I know the meaning behind it. It's just a filler.
Yeah. And if I'm going to give everyone a task today from the time you finish listening to this for the next 24 hours, I want you to keep track of every time you say to someone, hey girl, how's it going? And how many times in that conversation, if they don't immediately tell you, oh, I'm so busy. One part of the conversation, it does busy or crazy or, you know, some iteration of that word come up in that conversation, because I feel like we wear busy like a freaking Girl Scout badge.
Yep.
And yes. If I don't have my busy badge, I suck.
Right. That's right. You're not worthy. You don't deserve, you know, relaxation. You don't deserve having an ease in life. You don't deserve, just not deserving at all.
And I love how you said deserve. And I don't know how this came up in our world that we have to, in order to do something, free time, I have to earn my free time.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, I have a client and I've told her this. I'm like, you're at your watershed moment. I'm like, something's going to break inside of you. I don't know what it is, but you need to just chill your ass out. And I said, she was talking about how she wanted to go away with her husband, but in order to go away with her husband, she had to do these like 10 things. And I said, okay, so if I'm being you, can I just tell you what I see? And she's like, yeah, what do you see? And I was like, for you to go away with your husband, all you need to do is get a babysitter. I was like, that's right. I go, that's it. You know, she was like, but I got to do this and this and this and this. I was like, no. You have to find a babysitter. I go, and yeah. Decide, is it 24 hours? Is it 48 hours? Hell, the whole 7 days.
Yeah. I used to, right before we went on vacation, I would work until like 2 and 3 in the morning, sometimes not even sleep. I would just work and then pack and leave. Because I didn't want anyone to think I didn't get my work done. I didn't want to leave any stone unturned. And what I've learned is all of that's still going to be there when you get back. You won't need a vacation from the vacation. Mm-hmm. You won't miss out on the first 3 days because you're sleeping like a zombie. Vacation, it really should be part of your routine. Like, you just pack and go, and these things happen, and then you get back. It's a flow. It's not a start and stop of life.
Yes, 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 yes. And I feel like it's an American thing that we feel like vacation is like, I put my whole life on hold for my vacation, yeah, versus blending the vacation into my life.
You know, Kim, part of it is because of the mindset of all or nothing. And so if you're not working, you're not doing anything.
Right.
And so when you can really take on the trademark, which is what I teach my clients, is the small and something way of life. Any little small and something. So maybe you can't save for the big Tahiti vacation right now. I don't want you to do that. I want you to go, if it's 2 days, find something and start with making your day feel like you've got a timeout, which is what vacation is giving, whatever that feeling is. For myself, it's inspiration to enhance the life of my clients and my life, as well as our business. That's why I travel.
Yeah. I love how you said, in, you know, and I can totally echo this. It's about small. And if we take a step back, that whole all or nothing, and I'm sure you see it, because that's where the blame and shame come from, because I didn't get it all done. I didn't do all that I think I should be able to do. You know, how do you kind of start people down that, like, you know, take that big step back and, you know, a small step is a big step.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. That's what procrastination is for. That's where overwhelm is for. I actually break, I teach them the ways. So when you, let's say you want to get your passport renewed, I break it down to the tiniest thing, and then I give them that one thing. And that's the one thing they do. And first they become of this, they become aware of this idea of small and something. And then they really, they like, oh, this is how it showed up. This is what's happening. But because I'm really, 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 really good at the small and something, my brain automatically goes to that because I've practiced it so long that I teach them by doing, this is the steps. Now go do, you know, and you have to, it's down to like when your system, because all of our things that we do become systems. The first thing I do is I know that writing something on a pen with a pen and paper is my step one of anything I do.
Right.
So it's the getting started. They, when I give them the first step to getting started, that's how small and something starts transpiring in their life.
Right. So, you know, if we're planning that vacation, you're like, okay, step one is getting out that notebook that you're going to write down all the things for this vacation.
Yeah. So it, and it would be broken down into segments, categorizing. Right. And what I do, what I've done for a long time is when I'm doing this the first time, I look a little bit further, because remember, this was one of the things I didn't get to do because I was so overwhelmed with life. I didn't used to think farther ahead. So on my next trip, what do I want my day to have in place that packing is going to be easier? All right. of my makeup fits in a travel bag, and that's the way my makeup is stored. If I'm going to make a purchase for makeup, it better fit in that bag. And so my decision making becomes a lot easier and faster. And it's just pack and go.
Yeah. And it's funny that, like, there's certain systems that you have that you don't think about. And so now, you know, probably you thought about it for a while. And now it's just like you just grab your bags and you're ready to go. And you probably don't have to look at that list.
Exactly. But the first time when I decided I was going to do better at these things, because it's not, it wasn't fair to my family to wait for me in the car while I'm like trying to grab everything, you know, left. Being stressful adds stress to the world around you. So if you really want to please people, stop doing this shit.
Oh, gosh, we could, the whole people pleasing thing. I used to be to an extent. And then when I found, it caused me to wrap myself around the axle, I had to pull up. It was one of the first ways I did to stop being so stressed out, because I was always forecasting what you thought about me, Nikki, and what the other person thought about me. And, you know, was I doing a good enough job to,
right.
Then I just, and it's kind of translated to a lot of different things. I would ask my boss and I would say, okay, you know, we're doing this project together. What does success look like? And that way, if I got the definition up front, it took all the stress and future casting that I would do and you know, making things into catastrophes. It took that the stress right off, because I was like, okay, what are you expecting? So that way, when it's done, I know.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of us claim to be non-judgmental, yet we're trying to put these conversations of what we think other people are thinking. That's the biggest judgment you can give. You know exactly what they're thinking. That is putting, you know, it's not fair to the other party. So.
No. And, you know, and that kind of like, that can kind of cross your boss, your, you know, partner, your kids, you know, when you map it out, you know, just like you said, you're mapping out a trip. You know, if you, you know, want your kids to do stuff around the house, say, this is what success looks like. and not get pissed off when, you know, right. you tell them to do the laundry. Right. And for them, doing the laundry is they put it in the dish, they put it in the wash machine, but they didn't turn it on, or they didn't put it in the dryer.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like, you know, the first few times you probably have to spell it out step by step. Grab clothes, put it in the wash machine, turn it on with soap, then put it in the dryer, then take it out and fold.
It's actually, and that's the way that we do, I do it with my clients, and it comes down to, it's like, I know it seems kindergarten, but you haven't gotten started because you don't know where to start. In the first place to start is the very small in something, write it down. You, and when you're writing your to-do list, don't just put do laundry, put separate laundry, whatever you do, make sure you have the right laundry detergent and dryer sheets and all of this stuff.
Yeah. And I think what happens to a lot of us is that we don't want to, the pre-step, the pre-work is what's going to calm our minds, because then we don't, we're not forgetting a step.
Right.
And then
It's also taking the action today that's going to help you in the future, that's going to reduce the stress of future. It gives you some hope.
Yeah.
But if you don't even make the time, and I say make time because you have a limited amount of time, but you can make it the best.
Yeah. You know, I heard this expression, and that it's been, you know, very enlightening for me, is that it's like you don't, your priorities determine your activities.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a lot of people, I know for a lot of people hearing this right now, you'd be like, well, you know, I have 400 priorities. And I was like, no, you don't. Like, you know, you have to sit down and decide, you know, I always, one of my friends says you only have four burners, and at any given time you could have four burners going, and they're like, those are your priorities. So sit down and decide, what are those four burners? And that's what your priorities are. Because you can't be worried about 400 things, because nothing will ever get done.
And if and the thing is, as a chaos killer, everything seems to be urgent and important. Like, I don't even know in the beginning, can you really pick what those four things are if you're so caught up in what you think everyone's thinking is important?
Mm. Yeah. And that, and so I kind of, you know, steer my, you know, clients being like, you know, cause you're right. If I'm in the like overwhelm, like everything's important, I don't even know. And I was, I boil it down to this. I was like, if we were, there was a flood and there was a boat outside, what would go in that boat? Like, cause you can't bring everything in the boat. So it helps them kind of like start to kind of like, well, you probably ain't going to put your boss in the boat. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, your husband and your kids at least make, you know, make the cut. But like, if I kind of put them in like that kind of like, you know, there's a disaster happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be the person you want to protect in the disaster? Then we can kind of start building from there, because then I'm like, all right, so what's going on with your, you know, relationship? What's going on with your kids? Because maybe they're great. And so we're like, you know what? Right now, they don't have to be on the burner. So what else would it be? So it's kind of, you know, because when you try to get people to narrow down, like you said, they're like, it's everything.
Yes. Yep.
And I want them to realize that, like, you know, you make it everything. So, like, how do we kind of, like, really kind of boil it down to essences of, like, is it everything? Or is it right now you're just so overwhelmed that, like, you can't see the trees for the forest?
Right. Right.
And so I think, like, as you talked about, like, that's what brings people to the procrastination, because they just, you know, it's easier to shut down than to, like you said, grab that notebook and say, okay, vacation, what has to happen from between now and the time I get on that plane?
Yeah.
And for a cuckoo
bird. And not, you know, just the idea of vacation, the fear starts when you got a vacation request, you put it in. It's like, oh, are they going to say yes or no? I mean, it's catastrophic from constant thinking, you know, so it makes things a lot harder than it really needs to be.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I remember when I first started working for myself and I wasn't going to get paid to go on vacation anymore. And I was like, it for probably the first year I worked for myself, I would do long weekends. And before I would go for that long weekend, like you said, you would stay up till 3 a.m. I would be like, all right, how many clients can I pack in the next 4 days? And it was just, and at the end of the day, I was probably only missing 5 clients because I was going away for a long weekend. And
yeah,
you know, and it was that like whole like scarcity mindset of like, oh, if I miss an appointment with, you know, Karen, is Karen going to no longer book sessions with me? Like it was, you know, all the future casting where I was like, I've encouraged my clients to go on vacation, yet I couldn't go on vacation.
Right. Exactly.
So it was, I totally get that crazy mindset. And the other thing I wanted to dive into is procrastination, you know, because I see the overwhelm and I see how it is. Like I see myself like something I don't want to do. And it's really easy to like busy yourself with other things that make you feel like you're accomplishing things. What's like one, you know, way that you work with your clients to kind of break through that procrastination?
Well, part of the way to break procrastination is to, you can do the time block thing, which is, you know, kind of time management wise, it's like 15 minute segments or less, just set a timer and just go do that. One of the things that I really, if there's something that I tend to really just kind of like dread, what I do is I actually time how long it takes when I do the thing. And so the next time I do it, I'm like, it's literally just 2 minutes. I can do this. And then it becomes like the habit of that's easy. That's fun. It's moving on. Because the thoughts of, oh my God, this is going to take so long is taking up so much time that you have actually done that thing you were doing while thinking that thing. Half-assery. And then the next thing is like still putting it off. It's depleting your energy level. Then you make really crappy choices for lunch. And then that spirals out to something else. And so it's really a timer.
Yeah, you're right. Cause it's the whole, you know, we think everything's going to be worse than it is. And I'm not going to lie. There are some shitty tasks out there, but we always are like, oh, this is just going to be so bad. This is going to be so horrible. And so you're going to just keep putting off the inevitable where if you told yourself, I'm going to do it for 5 minutes. And then, you know, it 5 minutes is more than doing it for no minutes. And you just kind of, you know, take it one step at a time. The other way I always kind of challenge my clients is that, when I was in corporate, one of my first jobs, I was a assistant account executive. And at the end of the month, we always got all their like bills for all the things we did with them over the month. And I hated filing. And that's one of my jobs was to file at the end of the month. And I would just procrastinate. Uh-huh. I would just not do it at all. And my manager would come over and she'd be like, hey, Kim, so when are you going to file those things? Like, it would be like behind me, like almost as tall as me, piles of filing. I still to this day, I hate filing. And so she would always say something to me like subtle, you know, in that passive aggressive kind of way. And finally, I was like, all right, I'm going to shut her right the fuck up. So I would come in every morning and I would literally set a timer. And for 5 minutes, I would file. I was like, it was the suckiest 5 minutes of my day, but it was better than one, hearing her mouth, and two, it was 5 minutes. I was like, you could do anything for 5 minutes. It took me 5 minutes to walk to the bathroom. So I was like, five minutes a day. And, you know, that's what I always challenge my clients. Like, no one springs out of bed wanting to do fitness. But I was like, if you do it for 5 minutes or you do it for 10 minutes, it's something.
Yeah, exactly. Start with stretching. you know, fun activities. You know, the filing thing, paper is one of the biggest things that people tend to put off. And honestly, if you're still holding on to that paper, it's probably something kind of important that needs action. So I know that when I have a lot of paper around me, I have just an overwhelmed feeling. I don't know if it's just the white reflection. So I'll do something like silly, just put my sunglasses on, light some candles, put the papers in a stack, put some fun music on. Making things fun is one of the ways that I actually get shit done.
Yeah. I for me, like, I always have to kind of like have some type of gamification to it. You know, I live by timers, and it makes my husband crazy when he works from home with me. But like, I set a timer for everything. And he's like, why do you do it? I was like, I need to know when it's going to end. I just need to know. And it has been my biggest procrastination buster for years.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's the little kid in us that is trying to run our world. And so timers are fun, really.
Yeah. Because and it's
a visual. Yeah.
And that was the first way that I started to learn about this. You know, you talked about, you know, small is something. That was the first time I realized that, you know, small is something, like that 5 minutes over the course of like 3 months, it caught me up.
Absolutely.
And it, you know, got my boss off my back. And, you know, did I look forward to those 5 minutes? No, but I didn't put it off. I just like put my head down and I did it.
Yeah. So what did you do to keep that up?
5 minutes. Like, it was literally like, I had to do it for 5 minutes. So like, it just, you know, cause we got the bills at the end of each month. So I was so behind, but like eventually those five
right.
minutes
okay.
every day added up so that by the time I got to like the end of the month, still keeping up with those 5 minutes did the piles ever go away? No, but the piles didn't get as tall as they ever got before. So it made, you know, it got my boss off my back when you only have like a stack of like 50 versus a stack of 500.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I still do like a 5 minute, you know, clean of my office or a 5 minutes of a clutter bust, because like, it's really easy to let the clutter build up, and like clutter for me is white noise. I'm like, oh, there's clutter there. But like, you know, also when my cleaning lady comes like twice a month, you know, there's my incentive to like clean up, because I don't really want her to know how dirty I am.
Ask her what she thinks about that.
Well, the funny thing is, like, she's been my cleaning lady for like 20 years. So, like, she keeps coming back. So clearly we haven't scared her off.
Right. She probably knows, because I talk a lot with, you know, different people to see. And what they would really like is just to leave it, to trust that it's okay, that they're not going to judge you. It's just try it out, Kim, and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, it's twofold. One, I didn't want her to see how dirty I was. But then two, if I don't like clean off surfaces, she's like, well, I don't want to break anything or disturb anything. So then she doesn't clean it. So then I have to like, I'm like, yeah. I want her to wipe down my counters. So I got to clean the shit off of it. So she wipes off my counters.
Yeah, I get it.
So it started out as a neurotic thing, but then it turned out like, oh, if I don't move it, she's not going to clean underneath it. So then I got to move it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Got it.
Yeah. So I love the GPS, and you know, as you guys are listening, please, you know, think about it. Where do you guys get tripped up? You know, is it the guilt that snowballs into procrastination that like, you know, brings it up as stress and overwhelm? And, you know, you talk about you have like, you know, the chaos killer. So like, what is that?
So chaos killer actually is, it's a quarterly 2-day deep dive intensive of strategies. So I, you know, we talked about systems earlier. So what I do like doing is identifying systems. So on day one, I have my signature safe system, which is secrets to the desire divulge. So it's really what's in your heart, what really wants to happen. Then getting in alignment, which is A. F is freedom from chaos plan. And E is easing into clarity by increasing and using emotional intelligence. And day two is the GPS system covered. So that's, this is what I do on a daily basis to killing chaos. And then we come together on a quarterly basis and we intentionally kill it. We make a plan moving forward. What do we want it to really look like? What do we, you know, where do we want to let stuff go? Just really. And, you know, when we come back at the next quarter, we look and see, oh, that stayed there, you know, and then we get more and more clear each time.
So is it like a year-long program that you have with Chaos Killer?
I have clients who actually, they can join just for the quarter, mm-hmm. or they can join for the year. So it's really, and I don't do calendar year. When you start is when your first year begins.
Right, like 12 months from, you know, mm-hmm. June 10th. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, yeah. And you know, and I like that because that, you know, it's very, I have a very similar philosophy where, you know, if you don't sit down and, like you said, take that deep dive and get clear, like, what do you want your life to look like? You're always going to be swimming upstream trying to figure mm-hmm. it out.
That's right. And we're rising to the top. So we don't want to stay underwater too long.
No, not at all. And then, you know, then I like how, you know, you kind of broke it out. Like, and then the next step is like, okay, now let's start putting some systems, you know, routines, some habits in place so that, you know, when you do start to feel out of control, you start to feel the chaos starting to creep back in, you can go back to a template. You can go back to, you know, a safe word, if you will.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I absolutely, you know, I love all the things that we've touched on today, you know, and the big thing, you know, that I want everyone to go back to is, you know, stop wearing that damn busy badge. And for the next 24 yes. hours, listen to how many times you say it and how many times someone says it to you. And hopefully that's a telltale sign for you to start, you know, enacting some of these steps that we talked about today. And, you know, you could always have a conversation with Nikki because she can definitely take you deep onto how to be stressless, or you can head down to Louisiana and hang out in her spa for the day.
Yeah. And I do have Stressless Live coming up too. So we have some fun, powerful transformations happening.
I love that. And Nikki, so before I wrap up this our conversation, I always ask my clients, what makes you feel magical?
What makes me feel magical is killing chaos.
Killing chaos.
The days that I have that to-do list just checked, I mean, just so masterfully checked, I feel like it's magic. I feel peace. I feel calm. I feel love. And that's my thing. It's my jam.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, if anybody listening, if you haven't said you didn't want to feel any peace and calm and love in your life, check your pulse. come on.
And once you have that feeling, you want to you just want it back over and over again.
You do. You absolutely do. And, yeah. You know, it's, and trust me, like from two former stress balls, like it's possible to have less stress in your life. And, you know, I know for a time it might feel like that's just impossible. And I did feel like that. And when, you know, I first heard of this, I did roll my eyes a lot. So, you know, I want you to know I did have a little, I did have a little attitude coming in. I gotta keep it real.
Well, I hope you're now at least doing side eye and not full eye rolls.
I will tell people, I always say, like, I don't, you see the meme all over the place. It's like, I'm a little woo with a go fuck, with a side of go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I have the Zen in my life, but then like somebody just makes you just want to be like, are you fucking kidding me right now? But it's like, it's a temporary thing. It's like, before I used to like get all wild up about it, I just roll my eyes and then I move on with my life. But you know, you gotta
right. roll your eyes. Yeah, absolutely. That got me in a little trouble, but my husband and I do have a joke now. He's like, oh, you're rolling your eyes. I said, no. It is becoming side eye. I'm going to work on it.
I'm working on it. It's a process.
I'm working on it.
I'm at step one. Stop roll, full eye roll.
Yeah, exactly. Awareness of the eye roll.
Right.
Step two, intentionally move it to the side.
So Nikki, where can people find you on the socials?
Okay, I am on every social media, I believe, that I know of. Some of them, I think like Foursquare. I don't think I have that. But Facebook, I'm primarily very active on Facebook. I have Instagram. So Facebook is facebook.com, Nikki, N-I-K-Y, N-I-C-K-Y, Stansberry, S-T-A-N-S-B-U-R-Y, the number one. And Twitter is at Nikki Stansberry, LinkedIn, all the same thing. So just search my name, N-I-C-K-Y, S-T-A-N-S-B-U-R-Y, and I will pop up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram like that.
Awesome. Well, this has been a great conversation and thank you so much. I've enjoyed our talk. Well, I always enjoy our talks, but thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time out, and I'm just going to stop the recording and then just hang on for a second.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.